Okay, we had two readings today, and they both included the word kingdom. This sermon is entitled, What is the Kingdom of God? And it will be done in three parts. Number one, explaining what it is. Number two, how you enter. And number three, how it advances. So, number one, what is the Kingdom of God? The term Kingdom of God occurs 68 times in the New Testament. The term Kingdom of Heaven occurs 32 times, and only in the Gospel of Matthew. In this sermon, these two terms will be used interchangeably, both referring to the same thing. Now, this is my passport. On it, it says, United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland. With this passport, I identify myself as British. I can travel freely and live anywhere in the UK without a passport. It doesn't mean I'm the king or ruler of the UK, but merely a citizen. Years ago, I used to live and work in Brazil, and I needed permission to go there because I wasn't a citizen. I needed to fill in papers, get stamps, get official documentation to live and work there. After my time elapsed, I returned home to the UK, and it was easy to know that I was back home. Because number one, as the plane was descending, I could see the island of Great Britain. And number two, the pilot told me when I landed. The Bible reading we had, Jesus was talking about the Kingdom of Heaven to the disciples. At the time of Jesus, the Jewish people were under Roman occupation. Now, the Jewish people had a history of military warfare and success under King David, and they were waiting for their Messiah, their promised one. In John chapter 6, Jesus had just fed the 5,000 people. And then Jesus perceived that the people were about to come and take him by force to make him a king. See, in the Jewish mind, half of it was taken with the awaiting of the rule and reign of this coming Messiah. They knew he would come from the Davidic line. They would have known the prophecy from Isaiah chapter 9, verse 7, that the Messiah would sit upon the throne of David over his kingdom to order it and to establish with judgment and justice. But the other half of their mind would have been thinking about the Roman occupation of the Jewish people and their promised land. These were, after all, the covenant people with the one true God, and they couldn't possibly be ruled by Roman pagans. So common sense meant if you put these two things together, here we have someone doing miracles with bread and fish, casting out demons, healing people, and talking about the kingdom. Some people would have thought, he's the one. He's the deliverer. He's the captain to deliver us from the Roman enemies, the occupiers of our God-given land. Let's make him king. They expected Jesus to set up a military kingdom, but they didn't understand. Jesus' kingdom is actually a spiritual one. It's not a reign with a fist, but rather with a sacrifice to pay the price for sin and to re-establish a relationship with God. Jesus says, my kingdom is not of this world. Jesus was also talking about dying. And people would have been thinking, well, how could a king or ruler with a powerful kingdom that will liberate us from Rome, talk about dying. In verse 15, the people that had ears hard of hearing and eyes closed misunderstood that Jesus' kingdom was actually not of this world. It was not a physical kingdom, but rather a spiritual one. What a mystery. So number one, how is the kingdom of God a mystery? In verse 10, the disciples came to him and said, look, Lord, why do you speak to these people in parables? And in verse 11, Jesus says, it's been given or granted to you, the disciples, people in the know about the spiritual kingdom, to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them, meaning people outside of the kingdom, it has not been given. Jesus is saying, this is a privilege for you to know the mysteries. These other people, they're just taking these parables as a good story. But there's actually a deeper meaning in these parables. Jesus is saying, the kingdom of heaven is actually a spiritual one. And once people are in this kingdom, they will understand more of what I'm saying. Jesus was saying, my kingdom is God's rule and reign. It's not necessarily a physical kingdom to deliver you from the Romans, but rather a spiritual one where I work in your hearts. So there are two camps, people in the kingdom or people out of the kingdom. When God's word is received in faith, it takes root and bears fruit in a person's heart, like the good soil Jesus was talking about. Then the Holy Spirit does a work in that person's life, and they are granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom. Jesus says, it's been granted to you to put your faith in me, to believe that I am who I say I am. The kingdom of heaven is God's reign, and it's right in the midst of you, says Jesus. It's actually me. So why are there people in and out of the kingdom? Why couldn't everyone be in? Verse 15, Jesus says, I speak to them in parables because seeing they do not see and hearing they do not hear. You see, the people outside the kingdom saw with their eyes the miracles that Jesus did. They even heard his words when he was teaching them. But they still didn't understand because the word had not taken root in their hearts. Jesus is saying, these people do not know that the kingdom of God is actually among them through me. My rule and reign is now. My kingdom is on earth as I am with you. But these people don't understand. Do you get it? If we do not willfully understand the words of the Lord Jesus, the heart hardens so we cannot understand. I remember years ago, before I became a Christian, I used to spend my time going with my friends and playing the arcade games. This was in the days of Street Fighter 2, and in those days, owning a console was not common. So I was with my friend, and on the way there, a young guy stopped us, and he started to talk to us about Jesus and hand out these leaflets. So this friend of mine, he looked at me and said, oh, it's that religious lot again. And he passed the guy on to me. Why did he do that? Because my friend knew that I'd been christened as a child, I went to church sometimes, and I had some understanding of the Bible. And I listened politely to this young guy explaining things. But the truth is, I wasn't really that interested. I was interested in playing Street Fighter 2. As we left, I thought to myself, why is this person here on a Saturday trying to talk to people? Why wasn't he at the arcades with everybody else? Was anyone actually listening to this person? Why are people outside the kingdom? They're outside because their hearts are hardened by their own refusal to believe. So does God willfully exclude people? No. We harden our own heart by our lack of understanding with our indifferent attitude or our refusal to believe or our distraction due to the cares of the world, just like in the parable. God grants or gives repentance to us, leading to a knowledge of the truth. But we have to listen and take note of what's being said. Jesus says, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. Listen carefully. Pay attention to what I'm saying, he's saying. Verse 17, he says, many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Jesus was saying to the disciples, there were many holy, righteous people in the Old Testament in Israel that were eagerly awaiting this promised one that was prophesied. You may not fully realize this, but I'm the one. Jesus was saying to the disciples and the people, I am the mystery. I am the usher in of the kingdom of God. The mystery is standing right in front of you. I am the Christ. But they still didn't believe. Well, why not? Because of the hardness of their hearts. Verse 12. For whoever has, more will be given him. And whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken away from him. Jesus is saying, look, it's the one who hears God's word, where it affects their heart, and has a desire to learn more about the kingdom. That's the person with the good soil who bears fruit and yields a crop. Well, how can someone understand? It's only by God's grace and mercy. God is sovereign and is in control of all that happens. But at the same time, we are individually responsible for our own actions and what we do with the words that we hear. We have to acknowledge that we need help. To those who were not genuine seekers, these spiritual truths were hidden. That's why Jesus spoke in parables, in part to reveal the mysteries to the genuine seekers and to conceal the mysteries from the general listeners. But why would Jesus conceal? Because the mysteries of the kingdom of God are only revealed to those that accept the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, how do you get there? Point number two, how does one actually enter the kingdom of God? In the second reading, we read about Nicodemus, who was a Pharisee, a teacher of the law, a man with authority, and he wanted to meet Jesus to ask him questions. He came by night because he didn't want to be seen with this controversial person, and many of the Pharisees had already hardened their hearts toward what the Lord Jesus was saying out of jealousy. But Nicodemus sensed some truth in what Jesus was saying and wanted some clarification to what Jesus was talking about. Verse 2, he says, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God, for no one can do these things unless God is with him. But before Nicodemus asks his question, Jesus kind of cuts him off and gets straight to the point. Verse 3, he says, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That's the answer. How do you get into the kingdom of God? You have to be born again. But Nicodemus, who was an educated man, he didn't understand. Look at the question that he asked next. Verse 4. He says, he asked Jesus, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? This proves that the message of salvation is not just about the intellect, because Nicodemus himself didn't realize that Jesus was talking about a spiritual rebirth. When I read that, Nicodemus's question, I thought, yeah, that's quite a fair question. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones was not impressed with Nicodemus's question, and he calls it monstrously ridiculous and a foolish interruption. Therefore, the kingdom of God is not mere intellectual understanding. If that were so, only clever, intellectual, educated people would enter the kingdom of God. And some of the disciples were simple fishermen, yet they were granted access into this kingdom. You see, sometimes intellect can block out faith, and people think that the claims of Jesus are ridiculous. The Pharisees would be an example of that. People were saying, how can a carpenter's son be the Messiah? Our God-given intellect should work in conjunction with faith. When we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive us our sins and become Christians, our intellect is retained, and thank God for that. We then use our intellect for God's glory in understanding him more. Well, how does that happen? Only by God's grace. Well, why is it God's grace? Verse 6 says, that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Flesh can only reproduce its own carnal nature, but only the Holy Spirit can bring forth new birth. That's why the earthly man couldn't understand the things of the kingdom of God. That was me on my way to the arcade. I couldn't understand what he was telling me. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians says, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. It's a work of God's Spirit. But we have to repent and believe that Jesus is the Saviour and ask him to help us. So, what is the effect of being born again and how does it happen? I remember what happened to me. My life at that time was an absolute disaster. And I remember going up to my room, closing the door and sitting on the bed. And I prayed this prayer and I said, look, God, if you're real, I need you. You've got to help me because my life's an absolute disaster. Back then, I was a very anxious person. I was very nervous and I had a lot of tension regularly. And there were times I'd wake up in the night and I'd hear this kind of grinding sound in my ears. And I'd wake up and I'm thinking, what is that? Then I'd fall back asleep again and I'd hear this kind of grinding noise in my ears. And I'd wake up and I think, what on earth is that? It was actually me grinding my own teeth. That was an expression of the anxiety that I felt. And I knew it was because I was worried about things. That's how anxious I was. So I started to pray on this bed. God, please help me. And I started pouring out my feelings to God. Then I found myself saying this. Lord Jesus, please forgive me for my sins and come into my life. As I was praying that, I remember thinking, what are you doing? Why are you calling Jesus? I hadn't planned to say that bit. I carried on praying, and then my sins came to my mind, and I asked God to forgive me for my sins. And at the end of that prayer, I knew that something had happened. I immediately picked up the Bible, and I started reading it. Well, how did that happen? I'd never been interested in the Bible. It's a mystery of God. Also, in those times, I used to have a stutter. Not a major one, but just a slight stutter. And I had problems with B's and D's, which was slightly unfortunate because my name begins with B and my department I worked in was called Dealer Services. Whenever the phone rang, I had to pick it up and I had to say my name. Hello, Bjorn Pereira, Dealer Services, can I help you? And I really struggled with the B's and the D's. And I remember I used to practice at home in the mirror. Bjorn Pereira, B. Dealer Services, D. But I just had this stutter. And I worked in an open plan office. And when you work there long enough, people get it. And they were very loving, they were very kind, my colleagues. But they realized, and I thought, do you know what? They're probably thinking, this guy can't even say his own name properly. It's true. I couldn't say my own name properly. I had a desire to read the Bible, and I came across passages like this, Philippians. Be anxious for nothing, but in all things, through prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your requests unto God. And the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. And I used to pray to God, Lord, you know how anxious I am, and you're telling me not to be anxious. And I've got this teeth grinding thing, and you know I can't pronounce words properly. So I'm coming to you, and I'm asking you to help me, because this Philippians thing says that you can give me your peace. So I used to pray like that. All I can say is the teeth grinding stopped, and the stutter left. When stuff like that happens, it makes you take God more seriously. And for me, it was a really big deal to be able to say my name freely. So thank you, God. This is entry into the kingdom of heaven that Jesus is talking about. It's being allowed access to the living God, to come to him freely and to pray to him as a son does to his father, just to ask him things and tell him things that's on his mind. Colossians chapter 1 says that God has delivered us from the domain of darkness and translated us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. This is what happens when people trust Jesus to forgive them for their sins. You get transferred into God's kingdom. God delivers us from Satan's dark kingdom, where people are blinded and tormented and attacked, and translates them into his glorious kingdom of light through his Son, Jesus Christ. People noticed in me quite early on. I remember my cousin, who I was very close to, him and I had this conversation. And I was at his house, and he said to me, "Look, Bjorn, something's happened to you." And I said, "What do you mean?" And he said, "Look, you just seem a bit different." And I thought, right, brilliant, here's my opportunity. And I said, "Well, actually, you know, I've believed in faith that Jesus is my saviour, and his death forgives me for my sins." And my cousin said, "I knew there was something different. Yeah, you've changed." And I was really intrigued by that, and I wanted to push my cousin a bit further, and I was like, "Oh, and tell me more." I pressed him, "In what way have I changed?" And he said, "Because before, you were horrible." What my cousin didn't know was that I'd become a new creation in Christ. I had passed from Satan's kingdom to God's kingdom, and God was granting me a new nature as the Holy Spirit started to change me. When I trusted in Jesus as my Savior, the Holy Spirit changed me to become more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, how did that happen? Verse 12, Jesus says, "To him who has, more will be given." Now, I had absolutely no knowledge of theology, and I didn't even know how to pray. And I just talked to God as if he was in the room with me and assumed he would listen. And I grew in my relationship with God when I started to read the Bible and pray regularly. And every day I'd set times just to be in God's presence, a bit in the morning, a bit in the evening, and I'd give him my anxieties and my worries. And the more I did this, the more he revealed to me his character, his nature, and his love. Verse 16, Jesus says, "Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear." When I was born again, I became really excited and started telling others about the kingdom of God. I'd go out with some friends to train stations near where we lived with little booklets. And sometimes if my friend couldn't make it, I'd just go on my own. I'd just go after work. And I'd love to tell you that I was a great evangelist, but some days no one spoke to me at all. Some days no one took any books at all. And I was so concerned, and I was like, "Oh, it's freezing cold, it's November. Why are people not interested?" And I remember one guy, he said to me, "Look, mate, I'm not really that interested. Yeah, I just want to go home." And I'm like, I just couldn't believe it. I'm like, "Well, do you know Jesus? Do you know about his kingdom?" He was like, "Look, please, I've had a stressful day, right? Do you mind? I don't want to be rude, but can you leave me alone?" And I said, "Fine, look, you don't have to talk to me. At least take the book, because I'm thinking, if he reads something about God in the book, he might accept Jesus." And he was like, "No, I'm not interested." And I was so disheartened. Before that, I was like the people in verse 13, when my own heart was hardened. I had no interest or understanding of the spiritual things of the Lord Jesus, because it has to come by the work of the Holy Spirit. But God enabled me to see the truth and understand why Jesus came. It's a total work of God's grace and mercy. I, like the person at the train station, was not capable of believing and turning to Jesus on my own, but it had been granted to me to put my faith in Jesus. Why is that? Ephesians says in chapter 2, "For by grace you have been saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." Verse 9 says that it comes from God's grace and mercy, and it's not by our own doing, so no one can boast. So in terms of the kingdom of God, even salvation is an act of God, so we can't boast. We can't take any credit for it. We are utterly incapable before God helped us. But he helped us to believe in faith the Lord Jesus Christ, as we earnestly seek him and want to know him more. So how does the kingdom of God advance? This is point three. The Apostle Paul says, the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. It's not just a matter of intellect, but of power. But where does that power come from? The power comes from the preaching of the word of God. In the Welsh revival, simple men preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. And sometimes this led to all the pubs in the villages just being emptied out. I don't think the landlord would have been pleased, but praise the Lord. The gospel affected people's lives. The power of the kingdom of God is the rule and reign of the Lord Jesus Christ in the hearts and lives of people. The power of God is God rescuing us from the power of Satan, who's the god of this age, who blinds us and delivers us into the kingdom of God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. This kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, greater than any previous kingdom. In times of old, the powerful Babylonian kingdom that conquered Judah is no more. The mighty kingdoms of Greece under Alexander the Great, they're no more. The great Egyptian kingdom under Pharaoh, that's no more. And even within the space of about 300 years, the message of the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ turned pagan Rome into a Christian empire. That's the power of God's kingdom. So what's the evidence that God's kingdom had come when Jesus was on earth? Acts chapter 1, Jesus says, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me." The Apostle Peter, who had denied the Lord Jesus about a few weeks prior, preached with such boldness when the Holy Spirit came that 3,000 souls were added to the number. The power of God through preaching God's word at Pentecost, where people were pricked in their hearts and they said to the apostles and to Peter, "What should we do? What do we need to do?" And the first thing the Apostle Peter said, "Repent, turn away from your sin." How does that come about? The power comes in preaching the good news of God's word. Romans chapter 10, verse 14 says, "How can they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear unless they have a preacher?" So the power of God's kingdom comes through preaching the word of God, witnessing to people about the Lord Jesus, and praying for people. 2 weeks ago, Pastor Spencer encouraged us, if we know people that don't yet know Jesus as Lord, he said, God is able to turn the most evil heart to good. We just never know. We should be praying for people. That's the power of the gospel that Jesus brings, to allow people to repent and believe and to trust in him, to get into his kingdom, and then they can understand the mysteries of his kingdom. So, to recap, what is the kingdom of God? It's the rule and reign of the Lord Jesus Christ in an individual's heart and life. How does one enter? By being born again, by acknowledging your own hopelessness, by repenting from sin and trusting the Lord Jesus to take away the sin, believing his death on the cross meant that he took your punishment. How does the kingdom of God advance? By preaching, by sending out the word of God so it brings forth fruit, by witnessing to people, family members, friends, colleagues, people on the street, and for praying for people and trusting God to do a work in their hearts just as he did in ours. That's the kingdom of God. Amen. Our fifth and final hymn is not in the hymn book, but it will appear on the screens. The King of my heart now is Jesus. Let's stand and sing.
Thank you.
a blessing. The blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit rest and remain with you now and forevermore. Amen.